This Chicken Cock Whiskey interview edition of Old Fashioned Football on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using promo code OFFSGPN to get 100% deposit match. Plus, the NFL draft is coming up and Old Fashioned Football, that's right, we are giving away some autographed NFL merch. All you got to do is be subscribed to our YouTube and go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/off contest. That's OFF contest to get entered today.
Hey, what's up? This is Sam Acho, and you're listening to Old Fashioned Football.
Old Fashioned Football.
Make this deal right now, you pancake eating mother.
All right, deal.
Old Fashioned Football.
Welcome to Old Fashioned Football. If you're wondering who you listen to, this is J Mark. You can find me on the X at J Mark Football. And if you're wondering who us is, that's at Old Fashioned FB. Before I keep going, I've got to introduce my co-host on the pod and in life. You can find her on the X at The Mer Mark Mer. How you doing today?
Doing great. It's Friday. Who couldn't be happy about a Friday? And we have an awesome guest coming on the show here in a little bit with us.
Absolutely. Some might say that it's Fry-yay. No, not no, you. Not no. Yet. Too soon. Too soon. We got to get the whiskey first and then it'll be Fry-yay, right?
Oh my gosh.
I think that's how it's going to work.
I've got nothing for you.
And yeah, like Mer said, we got an awesome guest. We're going to be talking to Will Woodington of Grain and Barrel Spirits, which is kind of over Chicken Cock Whiskey along with some other spirits. Go check out all their stuff. But I'm excited for this interview.
I am too. It's going to be good. We didn't have Chicken Cock on the show, but we reviewed Chicken Cock on our show quite a while ago, it seems like, when we first really noticed them. We were at Wall to Wall in Des Moines.
Of course we were. Still waiting for that sponsorship from
Great things happen there. Great discoveries happen there. I'm really excited to try their bourbon again, try their rye, and a special surprise we have.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick before we get to that, I want to remind you that we're giving away autographed stuff. And how much does it cost to get entered, Miranda?
Nothing.
It is free. One of our
just
favorite.
Just a little bit of your time.
Yep. One of our favorite four-letter words, free. One of our favorite F-words, too, free. And all you got to do is be subscribed to our YouTube, which is at old-fashionedfootball. And then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFF contest. And that's just going to put your contact info. So we know how to get a hold of you. And here is how it's going to work. In case you don't know, your name's going to be put on a randomizer wheel. If you're entered in the contest, we're going to spin it. The first person that's up gets the first draft pick. They get to draft the item of merch that they want out of everything we have. Second person gets second, third, and so on. We got Frank Gore jersey. You see Travis Etienne's Clemson jersey on here. J.K. Dobbins Lunar Eclipse mini helmet. JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba. That's a hot one. I love the colors on that one, that blue-green color scheme for the Seahawks. That's going to be a lot of fun. Plus, where the puck drops on the Stanley Cup playoffs this weekend and the Hockey Gambling Podcast guys have you covered. Talon, Ryan, and Joel are breaking down every series leading up to Saturday's opening games, and we'll keep the picks and laughs coming all postseason long. Subscribe to the Hockey Gambling Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Miranda, should we get to our guest?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All righty, Old Fashioned Football and SGPN listeners, we're joined by a very special guest today. He's the National Whiskey Brand Ambassador at Grain and Barrel Spirits, which means the Whiskey Ambassador for Chicken Cock Whiskey that we're going to be talking about today. Welcome to Old Fashioned Football, Will Woodington. Will, how you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to dive in.
We're excited to have you on the show with us and
absolutely
try some of this awesome whiskey.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask, we talk a lot of football. Are you a football fan? And if so, do you have a specific team?
So, you know, football hasn't been my main sport interest. It's mainly been hockey. I'm a Detroit native. I live in Metro Detroit. But with that being said, the Lions all the way, man. You know, that's the team to beat. That's, you know, they're doing some amazing things. So we're all excited here in Michigan and Detroit specifically for where they're headed.
As Bears fans, we're going to have to end the interview. No,
it's funny you say that because I've got a couple of coworkers who live in the Chicago area, and between the Red Wings and the Lions, you know, I give them some grief, but it's all in good fun.
I'm sure. Well, and Red Wings and Lions been doing a little bit better than Bears and Blackhawks recently. Mm-hmm. So you can give us grief right now.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. But I think everybody's ready for another Detroit Chicago rivalry, you know, like it used to be. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. So I know you're more in hockey. Have you done any fantasy sports, any fantasy leagues?
Yeah, you know, I shy away from the football just because I'm not as well versed in it. But I've done fantasy hockey. I haven't done it in a while, but that was always a little fun thing to do, and keeps the season more interesting, right? When you're a little bit more involved in it, you start to know a lot of the players around the league, whereas you might not otherwise pay attention to them. So fantasy is always fun.
Yeah, for sure. We've talked to several people kind of in the whiskey industry, and it feels like the more you get into the whiskey industry, the less time there are for the fantasy sports, because they do take a lot of time.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's the, you know, and I was in one league, a few years ago, at least 5 or 10 years ago. And the guy who ran it was actually a hockey publicist. He actually worked for hockey editorial. And so he knew every single, you know, prospect all the way up to the legends and what's going on. We could never catch up. He was always drafting the best guys. He was always making the best trades. And I'm like, you do this for a living, man. This is a little bit unfair, right? But
for sure.
It was always fun. But, yeah, it does take a lot of time. He wanted to make it more into like a dynasty fantasy league, and I just didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the time for it back then, let alone now. But
yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, the more lax leagues, I can get into those a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get more into the Chicken Cock whiskey brand, and more specifically – try the bourbon, the rye, and a new single barrel limited release that relates to the sports world. But before we do, can you walk us through how you got into the spirits industry?
Absolutely. You know, so I've been the national brand ambassador for Grain and Barrel Spirits, primarily for Chicken Cock Whiskey, for just over a year now. I started in January of 2023. It's been an amazing ride so far. This brand has so much potential, and we get great engagement all over the country, and it's very historical, so I have a lot of fun with that. But prior to this, I had done a little bit of brand ambassador work for Bardstown Bourbon Company. If you're familiar with them, that's where we make all of Chicken Cock Whiskey in the modern age. So it was a nice tie-in there. But before that, I was actually in the automotive industry for about almost a decade, and made a big career change after leaving there, and wanted to find some. I always had my eyes set on getting into the whiskey industry at some point in full time, because I've been a massive collector, you know, big hobbyist. I used to interview distilleries and do all that kind of sort of stuff. I used to be on your side of the table for a long time. And so it was just a great natural fit, and I'm so happy to be on the team here. So
nice. So I know the general format of podcasts, we kind of talked about this before we started recording, is that you go through a bunch of questions, and then at the end you kind of mix the tastings in. One of the things I love about whiskey is the conversation that comes while you're having a glass of whiskey with somebody. When you sit down and have that conversation, it's one of the greatest things to me about a good whiskey. So I was thinking maybe we do a little pour now and kind of talk about that, and kind of lead into the questions with some spirits while that whiskey opens up and everything.
Absolutely. No, you hit the nail on the head. Whiskey is the best conversation starter known to man, as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, let's dive into it. You guys got a bottle of our Kentucky Straight Bourbon over there. So how do we kick things off with that?
All right. Sounds good. And I poured us a little glass of that.
Wonderful. Yeah. So
go ahead.
I was going to say, no, our Kentucky Straight Bourbon, it's a great way to kick things off. 90 proof, great sipper, great flavor. Love this bottle.
Yeah, we actually, so this is the one we had tried before, and we did a show last night, just kind of doing a fantasy roundtable with some people, and we had our old fashions with this. And I know we've had it straight before, and it's great mm-hmm. straight, but it's also a really good mixer. Like, it really stands mm-hmm. out in the old fashioned, and just, it's really good in it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, I love sipping whiskey neat. That's the primary way in which I consume it. But, you know, our bourbon and our rye both make exceptional whiskey-based cocktails, whether it's a old-fashioned, a Black Manhattan, a paper plane, anything of that nature. Chicken Cock's going to stand out really well in those.
Yeah, for sure. It's very smooth. Mm-hmm. I feel like, but not without character. You know, sometimes whiskeys are smooth, but that means they don't have the taste there. This has a lot of flavor to it.
It has a good mouthfeel.
Yeah, good mouthfeel. Yeah. That's something that as we've jumped into the podcast world and tried so many different whiskeys, it's like, that's something that really started kind of standing out. It's like, there are some whiskeys that they're just a little too thin. There are some that they go too far and they're mm-hmm. kind of thick. This is perfect right in the middle. Great mouthfeel on it. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Yeah, we pride ourselves on our bourbon being very well balanced. And again, bourbon has to be at least 80 proof. So we're not at the bare minimum, but we're, you know, mm-hmm. Certainly a lot of people are preferring those cask strength barrel proof whiskeys. And a lot of those are great. However, you know, you can get too much alcohol burn from a lot of those, and you don't end up tasting the great flavor that's in there. So, you know, our main goal is to bring it down to a proof in which those flavors shine, but it's still got great complexity and body to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. While we're trying this lovely bourbon. So before the show, you mentioned talking about some of the history behind Chicken Cock whiskey. And that's something that I guess both of us, but I really like to dive into like the history behind different brands and whiskeys. So Chicken Cock whiskey was originally established back in correct me if I'm wrong, back in 1856. And then there was a kind of a gap before rediscovery and resurrection in 2012. Can you tell us a little bit about like how that relaunch was, and if there were any like types of pressures to authenticity because grain and barrel spirits were working with such a historic and older brand?
No, great questions. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. You know, the trajectory from the original founding in 1856 until the fast forward of today, right? There's so much history to unpack. But, you know, being that this was such a historic whiskey brand, you know, in 2011 or so, our founder at Grain and Barrel Spirits, his name's Mati, he was in a museum, and that's where he discovered the brand or rediscovered the brand in a glass mm-hmm. case. And I don't care who you are. When you pass by a bottle that says Chicken Cock whiskey on it, your curiosity strikes you immediately. You know, the first time you see that name. So he did a bunch of research, and he found out that nobody owned the brand rights. It hadn't been made since about 1950. Had a lot of history to it, a high quality reputation, and thought, you know, this is a brand that's well deserving of being resurrected. And to boot, we've got the most unique name in the whiskey industry, in my opinion. So it was a win-win all around. But no, to your point, you know, we don't consider ourselves as, you know, like we're not just slapping a label on a barrel and calling it a day. We're the stewards of this historic whiskey brand in the 21st century. And that means a lot. So, you know, Chicken Cock was known for a very long time as having a very high quality reputation as a whiskey. That faded a little bit after World War II. They started making it in more of mass production standards. And so we wanted to get back to that original intention of you know, this being a high quality whiskey brand. So there's a lot that goes into that. It's not just emulating the same mash bills that they used to use, which we don't, unfortunately. But, you know, it's not necessarily about that. It's about exuding that high quality reputation, paying homage to the brand in historical ways. That's, you know, our modern bottle designs, we pull influence from the past there. But there's a lot to unpack here, and there's a lot that we do to pay homage, pay tribute, and maintain those high quality standards and the historical nature of this brand. So, yeah. You know, again, 1856, you know, the number one question that we get is, where the hell did you guys come up with that name? And we didn't. We can't take credit for it. You know, the original founder was a farmer, and, you know, back in those days in the 1830s, 1840s, there were a lot of farmers that were using their excess, corn crops that they had and distilling whiskey with it. And James A. Miller, the original founder, started to make a very high quality reputation for himself with the whiskey that he was producing. So he established the, you know, he gained enough venture and capital from his farming and doing that to open up the proper distillery in 1856. Things were going great. They were shipping multiple, more and more barrels year after year. They get distributed, sent down the Ohio River, which would make their way to the Mississippi and then on to New Orleans, and then they get distributed nationwide. And so by 1860, this brand, had a very high quality reputation. People were searching for it. Became a very highly sought after commodity. And 1860, unfortunately, that founder, James A. Miller, dies that year. And that kind of put the brand in a little bit of a jeopardy. So George D. White was a former clerk of his. He ends up maintaining the brand rights and continuing James A. Miller's legacy with the brand. And that's when we start to see the chicken cock name sort of get out there in newspaper advertisements and everything like that. We don't have one singular piece of paper that tells us this is how they came up with that name. But you transport yourself back to the mid-1800s. Number one, the term rooster existed, but it wasn't really being commonly used. The more common term to describe a male chicken was a chicken cock. So you gotta put yourself in those shoes. Roosters were often, symbols of defiance and pride. And again, James Miller was a farmer. So you tie all that in together, and it makes a lot of sense why they named the brand Chicken Cock. There were brands like Old Crow that were popping up and a lot of farmers that started those brands. And so it's no wonder why they were implementing more farm animals into brands back then. So it's just putting yourself in that place. But into the later half of the 1800s, this brand, again, they become the first brand of Bourbon County to ship their whiskey internationally. They're present at the first ever filmed heavyweight boxing match in Carson City, Nevada in 1897. There's chicken cock barrels there present that we know of. So a lot of cool stepping stones, but the brand took a turn about 1900. It gets bought out by a monopoly that had formed back during that day called the Whiskey Trust. And they purchased the brand. They continue making chicken cock in Kentucky. And then Prohibition hit America. And, unfortunately, that took out many, many brands and very few were being made during it. But chicken cock is one of those lucky brands that survived through it. It was made once as a pure Canadian rye whiskey up in Canada, packaged in this exact pint bottle right here. Which, as you can see, that's exactly where we get our bottle design from in modern day, with chicken wire on the outside. That's and cool. It was also made as a medicinal whiskey, right? If you wanted to produce whiskey legally and you wanted to drink it legally, you had to have permits and prescriptions. So Chicken Cock was owned by American Medicinal Spirits Company in America during that point, and they were making Chicken Cock as a bottle and bond medicinal bourbon. And this is an actual exact pint bottle right here from those days. It's actually got a little bit of whiskey rust in it. So like I said, it survived in a couple of different great ways, which helped it survive after Prohibition too. National Distillers owned it at that time, but again, a lot of different things going on in the industry at that point in time. Pretty much, they were making chicken cock as a blended whiskey with 70% neutral grain spirit and some other a couple other actual whiskeys, but quality went way down. A pint of that chicken cock, a Canadian rye during Prohibition would have cost you $14 a pint if you wanted one. It's about $243 in today's money. By 1933, they were making it as this blended spirit, and it cost $1.06 a pint. So you can see how much the quality went down and how much the brand had gotten cheapened. So that's why it got discontinued around 1950. It lost popularity, quality went down, a lot of different variables went into that, but that's why it went in the shadows for about 61 years.
Interesting. You mentioned the bottles. They're very unique looking, which I think stood out to you when you very first saw them.
Yes,
that's something you noticed.
We first tried it and we actually tried it on our show over a year ago. But we were browsing the whiskey aisle, one of our favorite things to do. And the bottle stood out to me. I'm a sucker for bottles, like unique bottles. And I don't know why the chicken wire didn't click. Like I get it now.
I didn't ever think
of that
either.
I was like, oh, this is such a cool bottle. Yeah. Chicken, I like that.
And then the name.
The name stands out. You can't be looking at names and not stop
right
you see the name.
That's the thing though, like you could be say you're at a restaurant and you try a good whiskey, you go home and a week later you may not remember like what was that whiskey again. You're not going to forget chicken cock whiskey. That name is going to stand out.
The bottle designs and the name pull people in and get their interest, and then the whiskey makes them stay and become a fan, that's for sure.
I also read that Duke Ellington in his memoir said that chicken cock whiskey was his favorite whiskey. So that's pretty cool. I think it's.
Yeah. Flashing back to Prohibition era when it was made as that pure Canadian rye whiskey and cost $14 a pint, it was showing up predominantly along the eastern seaboard of the United States. It was getting smuggled in through cities like Detroit, Chicago, and New York. And one of the cool places that we found that it showed up at was the Cotton Club in Harlem, New York. And if you're unfamiliar with the Cotton Club, you know, it used to be the most famous jazz and speakeasy bar in New York. And all the legends played there. So Cab Calloway, Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong, all the legends. And we came to find out that, yes, Duke Ellington in his memoirs, when he's going over the Cotton Club experience and playing there, calls out Chicken Cock by name and says that, you know, it's his favorite house pour at the Cotton Club during the 1920s, rumored to cost about $14 a pint. And it was good whiskey. So we're very proud of that cool little piece of history right there.
Yeah, it's very cool. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Will Woodington for Chicken Cock Whiskey. Miranda, why don't you tell people where they can go play some fantasy sports?
You can go play some fantasy sports over on Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your other favorite sports. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog is now available in over 30 states, including California, Texas, and even Canada.
And we just love Underdog, obviously. And they got UFL. Nowhere else is offering UFL. That is for sure. And but the lines aren't up yet. So I just wanted to go over here and show you real quick something that I think is just a smash. Patrick Mahomes, higher than 34.5 passing touchdowns. Yes, please. Josh Jacobs, higher than 7.5 rushing touchdowns in that Packers offense. Pair those together. Just that is three times your money. But you can add something else like Saquon Barkley, 7.5 rushing touchdowns, higher. And then you're already up to six times your money. And new customers get a pick 'em special in the lobby when they sign up. And they're always running different promos, bonus cash airdrops, specials, giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow at Underdog Picks on Twitter to keep an eye out. Plus, you're going to get an instant pick'em special for Friday night games on 419. Get in there right now. Don't forget to use our promo code OFFSGPN, and Underdog will double your deposit, double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code OFFSGPN. Now back to Will talking about Chicken Cock Whiskey. We're going to pour the rye, but while we're doing a pour of that, I was wondering if you could kind of walk through some things that you feel make the Chicken Cock Whiskey itself, like the taste and everything, unique and kind of stand out.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, not only do we have this amazing history and heritage behind this brand that goes almost, you know, back 170 years plus, but the whiskey that we're making, again, I go back to that high quality reputation and what we set out to do with this brand. It wasn't just a cash grab or to slap labels on good whiskey and just call it a day. We actually put a lot of attention and care into producing the whiskey that we do. So I always like to tell people about our barrel production process and how much care goes into just the wood portion of making Chicken Cock Whiskey. Our master distiller is Greg Snyder, and we hired him on to be the master distiller around 2017. Well, Greg has been in the industry for about 46 years now, and he's held various positions throughout his career. He started off at Seagram's when he was 17. He became a bottling line manager and held other roles. He became the managing director in the 1990s for Wild Turkey, a brand that pretty much everybody knows, and he invented Russell's Reserve while he was there, which is a brand that many people love and adore around the country. Mm-hmm. And he was also the master cooper for all of Brown-Forman as well. So all those brands like Jack Daniels and Old Forester and Woodford, anything that had to do with barrels came through Greg. So when you take that all together, you're going to have one damn fine person making your whiskey right there with all that experience. I mean, his resume is pretty unmatched. The reason why I bring that up, though, is because calling back to Greg's cooperage experience, he knows what makes a great barrel. And that is something that can put you above and beyond in taste and quality and flavor. And, you know, Greg is the only master distiller I know of who's physically putting on mud boots and climbing over 400 different American white oak logs to hand select each one. Now, cooperages that make barrels are probably doing that, right? They're probably looking for good quality, but not master distillers, right?
Yeah.
So the reason why he's doing that, though, you know, what makes a good log, you might ask, when you're looking at the side profile of a log and you're looking at the annual growth rings, he's looking for trees that typically have about 14 growth rings per inch. And the reason why is because that identifies that tree as being a very slow growing tree. The reason why you'd want a slow growing tree to make a barrel out of is because all your natural wood sugars and compounds that you want to give your whiskey great flavor and quality, are going to be very densely compacted in that tree. So you're going to maximize the flavor profile in that barrel. 80% or so of your flavor in your whiskey comes from just that barrel alone. So you might as well put the best attention and care into that process as possible. So in addition to that, once we cut those logs up to be made into barrel heads and staves, they get naturally air dried in the climate for up to 12 months. And that process is going to naturally open up your wood grain so that your whiskey can flow in and out of that barrel and maximize the amount that it goes in. And then also it's going to rid your wood of natural compounds you don't want in your whiskey. And then lastly, once barrels get made, we do a medium plus toast and a level 3 char. Now you might see a lot of special editions out there that are toasted and what have you. That means that whiskey went into that barrel, went into a regular barrel and then was dumped into a new toasted barrel afterwards. We do that process from the start. And the reason why a lot of brands don't do that process from the start, it's simply a higher component cost to do that. But we don't want to skip that. We're a small and nimble brand. We're able to do that because we are so small. But if a large scale distillery were to do that, you're probably looking at $25 million in added, component costs throughout the course of the year. So we understand why they don't. But the benefit to doing the toasting process, is that you're basically, if you've ever put sugar into a spoon and then lit a flame under it, what does it do? It caramelizes, right? That's the same thing. That's the same intention with doing a toasting. You're going to caramelize all those natural wood sugars and create a ton of flavor within that barrel before whiskey even goes in it. And then we do the level 3 char. We don't want to do anything higher because we're going to burn away all that great flavor we just created in that barrel. So level 3 char is just there to act really as that filter, that natural filter for the whiskey to flow in and out of. So again, just the wood portion alone, the barrel production portion alone, we're putting so much care and effort into that. And that translates into making a great whiskey like we do.
Very cool. This rye is amazing.
Oh, I was going to say before you tried the rye too, if to make sure that was the, where you wanted us to go next.
Yes. Yeah. That's perfect. Okay. You made the right choice. Yes.
Yeah. No, it's a great rye spice. It is also like the bourbon. It's got a smooth, but flavorful. That is good. I'm usually a bourbon guy, but this rye very
sweet. It smells sweet. Yes,
there is a sweetness to it as well. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. You like rye. You're a rye gal. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I love my rye whiskeys.
So do I. I wish there were more rye fans out there. It's not as popular of a whiskey category as bourbon is, but there are tremendous ryes out there, including ours. And the recipe on this one is a 95% rye, 5% malted barley recipe. So it's very high rye content. However, the thing I love most about this rye is, people can be gun shy of drinking rye whiskey, especially neat, because it can just inherently have that more peppery, aggressive bite to it on your palate. A lot of people aren't accustomed to that, and that's understandable. But our rye whiskey, I've sampled countless, thousands of people on our rye, and I love finding the people who are like, I don't like rye whiskey, or it's too spicy, or it's this, or it's that. I push this glass in front of them, and 80% plus of the time, they turn into fans immediately. It's 90 proof, just like our bourbon, but unlike most ryes out there, it doesn't have that overly aggressive bite to it. It's got sweeter flavor profile to it. So there's more citrus and spearmint and honey to look out for in the glass. And it doesn't have that over-aggressive bite to it. So very palatable to the average person, especially those who don't drink rye whiskey very often.
Yeah. The honey stands out to me.
Yes, too.
Yeah, for sure. Like when you're drinking it, you can tell it's a rye, but not in the, like you're saying, not the peppery, like, oh my gosh, rye
it's
spice.
It's there though.
But it is there. And then that nice sweet honey. Yeah, that is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, big fan of that. So, and then we won't pour it quite yet because I'm still enjoying this rye, but I wanted to start talking about, you guys have this limited release single barrel double oaked collab with kind of jumping into our sports world, as we said at the beginning, the PGA golf pro Kevin Kisner, the Kiz as some people know him. Can you kind of walk through how that partnership came about?
Yeah, Kevin is he's a great guy, and he's super down to earth, and respects the craft and the effort of golf just as much as he does the craft of making a great whiskey. And, his famous saying is, whiskey and golf, it ain't no hobby, right? There's a lot of passion that goes into it. So with how great a player he is and how great a person he is and everything that goes into perfecting his golf game, We thought that it was nothing but a natural fit for us to partner with somebody like him. And he's been fantastic. He's a great, great guy to work with, amazing golfer. And we are so happy to have the partnership with him on the Chicken Cock Whiskey end. So that's kind of how the partnership came about. And what we started doing, specifically this year, is we had a private cask program last year. It was very limited. We only had about 20 or so barrels to divvy up across the country. We wanted to get a little bit more flexible and a little bit more creative with our private cask offerings into this year. So we do offer private cask selections of our normal bourbon. And we've also done a couple of those older age Kentucky straight bourbon bottles that are barrel proof from last year. But, again, that flexibility, that creativity, we wanted to offer something different, specifically when it came to media partners and marketing partners. So we've done a few of them this year, but Kevin Kisner has selected a couple different barrels using our Double Oak. Now, our Double Oak Kentucky Straight Whiskey here, this is our off-the-shelf bottle. You can find this at retailers, at bars, restaurants, all that stuff. This is a new whiskey that we came out with last year. Double Oak was aged in used barrels for the first 7 years and then transferred to brand new white oak and aged for another 18 months and then dumped out. It's a high corn recipe whiskey. It is phenomenal. I love it just as it is in this bottle at 92 proof. But when we got the opportunity to start selecting single barrels for marketing partnerships, man, it blew the roof off. Tasting this whiskey, the single barrels are 9 years old and bottle at barrel proof. So that you can imagine the flavor that's in this 92 proof bottle that we offer on the shelf and then go to that barrel proof at 9 years old. It blows the roof off, in my opinion. It is phenomenal whiskey. So we've been doing that program here. Like I said, Kevin Kisner selected a couple of barrels of this. And like I said, I don't unfortunately have a sample in front of me of that Kis pick, but I can imagine it is phenomenal. I helped pick a barrel of this with the New Orleans Bourbon Festival. And if it's half as good as that, it's going to be phenomenal. We're super proud. Like I said, Kisner knows what a great whiskey is. He loves Chicken Cock, obviously. And he's a man of good taste. And I have to imagine that he picked one of the best barrels that we have in the Double Oak realm. So to explain to you what this whiskey is, we got to go back to 2014. There was a little bit of an American white oak logging shortage going on that year, which not only affects the bourbon industry, it affects other things. But basically, they couldn't get into to the forest where they would usually harvest those logs at because there was a bunch of snow runoff and rain that had oversaturated the ground. So getting, machines that are a couple tons in there to harvest logs, it's not exactly ideal. And that made the bourbon industry run into a little bit of a shortage with barrels. And so the producer who made this whiskey initially made it as a bourbon. It's 80.5% corn, 11% rye, and 8.5% malted barley. However, they didn't have new barrels to put it in, so they dumped it back into used barrels that they had. That's why this is called a Kentucky whiskey versus a bourbon. So okay. It aged in those used barrels for the first 7 years. When we got an opportunity to bring on this inventory, we had our master distiller taste it, and he said, you can only squeeze so much flavor and quality out of a used barrel before it's like trying to squeeze blood from a rock. So we wanted to give this whiskey more flavor, depth, quality, character, you name it. So what we did was we sourced some barrels. They didn't go through the normal, medium plus Sosin level 3 char like we do on the regular Chicken Cock line. We just didn't have inventory to do it with. So we sourced some barrels, brand new American white oak level 4 char. We dumped the whiskey back into those barrels. And then we strategically further aged them at the very top parts of the rickhouse at Bardstown Bourbon Company because they're going to be exposed to that sweltering Kentucky heat during the summer and cold temperatures during the winter. And therefore, you're able to maximize how much flavor you're able to pull out of that barrel through the maturation cycle. So after 18 months or a year and a half, we pulled this whiskey back out and dumped it out. Man, it turned into one of the best things, in our core lineup here. Again, our normal off-the-shelf Double Oak is 92 proof. For these single barrel selections, including the Kisner barrel, it was aged for 9 years total. So, 2 years total in that brand new oak and then bottle at barrel proof. So usually I'm not sure what the proof is on that Kisner barrel. I have to imagine it floats close to 120. I'm not sure if it's
119.2.
Beautiful. So what you're going to get, on a normal double oak, I typically get a lot of very heavily accentuated sort of desserty flavors. Creme brulees, which is, more heavily vanillas and sort of dessert flavors, a little bit of cola syrup. There's some cinnamon red hot in there, and these single barrels, accentuate so much of that great flavor profile we're able to pull on our normal double oak and really maximize it. So I'm excited for you guys to try that.
Oh yeah. That is, that is good.
I can smell the cinnamon just before you even.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm smelling? I think I'm smelling cinnamon.
Well, we've learned that no matter what you smell or taste, you're right. everybody smells and tastes something different. I feel like, this best way I can describe it is it's almost got like a warming taste. You know, it's like, I taste it and it's like, I feel like I just had like a warm dessert or something. Like you get that,
but like dessert.
Yeah. But like dessert. Yeah. This nice warm, dessert that is. And at 119, I know a lot of people, especially if they don't drink a lot of whiskey, they're like, oh man, that's going to burn my face off or something. This doesn't drink like it's a 120 proof at all, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That is
good. Yeah. They truly don't. Good. Yeah. We are very proud of those single barrels of double oak. Because again, I mean, the flavor profile that's coming off of those, is just phenomenal. You know, and, you bring up like the warm sort of dessert. Yeah. Between all the wood contact, right, the double oak process that this went through, the high corn recipe, transfers into a lot of more of those baking spices and just like that warmth. And it's got so much great flavor on the palate. It's so well-rounded, just makes it an exceptional pour. And this is a, you know, our double oak single barrel picks, the Kisner pick, it's going to be more of a slow sipper, right? You're going to want to sit there and take your time with it, whether it's around the bonfire or pairing it with a cigar, or, you know, having a toast with your buddies after a good round or a bad round. You could go either way.
Yeah, for sure. When you said cigar, I was like, this would be perfect with a cigar.
With this, or I could see us sitting around the fire pit.
The fire pit, yep.
On a chilly night.
And so you touched on it a little bit, but so I will admit I'm not the biggest golf watcher. So I looked up a lot on Kevin Kisner, and man, he cracks me up. He's got this like perfect dry humor deliver where it's just so funny. Like he's just such a laid back, funny guy. What was like, was he very hands-on with most of the process of picking the Kevin Kisner limited release here, and what was it kind of like working with him?
Yeah, you know, so unfortunately I wasn't part of you know, him selecting these barrels, but he was, you know, hands-on with him selecting them, right? He signed off on them, and like I said, I think he picked some of the best whiskey in our arsenal using these double oak picks. But man, I just know that from experience, you know, he is just, again, I go back to him being such a down-to-earth guy. And that's what we're all about here, right? We're a small, nimble company, and this brand has a lot of amazing heritage and history, and we're doing the brand justice here in modern day. So to have somebody like him helping to represent our product out there, again, with a name like Chicken Cock and what we try to get across, right? You got to be a little bit more relaxed in telling that story, right? Because people are always going to be curious, and you want somebody with a little bit of sense of humor and down home goodness. And he's just overall such a great guy, and you know, he's fantastic to work with, and we love his humor on and off the course. And you know, so he's a great fit for what we're doing.
Love it. Yes. Did you have anything else you wanted to ask right now?
Well, I was going to ask you if there's anything else that maybe we didn't ask that you want to touch on about the brands or.
Yeah, for sure. We've got some exciting things coming this year. We're going to have a new limited time offering coming out around October, November timeframe. Same as always. Very much looking forward to that release. It's going to be very rare. So keep an eye out. We're also going to have a very exciting announcement coming in within the next month, next 4 weeks or so, tied to the brand. Look out for that. So please, you know, make sure you're following us on social media at Chicken Cock Whiskey, or, you know, signing up for our email list to keep out for those exciting announcements. You know, one of the coolest releases that we've done in the last month or so is actually our new small batch bourbon. So I definitely want to showcase that. It's got a little bit of a different label than a normal bourbon does. But this, my friends, you know, you taste our Kentucky bourbon and all the great flavor in that. When I tasted small batch for the first time, I was blown away by how much 10 proof points more and a 5-year age statement can do to our whiskey when we're taking the best of the best in our barrels and blending them together. Small batch is made from, you know, typically less than 10 barrels, but at the very most less than 20. So we're getting back to the original intention of what small batch whiskey is. So we're along the way, we lost sight of that and started producing small batch. It was made from over 200 barrels. That doesn't make much sense to me. So we're getting back to the original intention of small batch here. So we call out the exact number of barrels and the batch right there at the bottom. Again, 5-year age statement on the back of this right here. And then it's 100 proof. So it's 10 proof points higher than our normal bourbon is. Man, what a value. It's only 10 bucks more on the shelf at your retailer. You know, typically our bourbon retails for $57.99. Small batch retails for 10 bucks more at $67.99. And tremendous value. The quality of this whiskey is phenomenal. So we're very excited about small batch. But yeah, so some exciting things happening this year.
Yeah, I love that because kind of like you touched on, it seems like from what everything I've read and seen, small batch isn't necessarily regulated. You can almost throw it on anything and say, oh, yeah, this is a small batch. So I love that you guys are getting back to the actual roots of a small batch whiskey. That's great.
Yeah, you know, great point there. You know, the small batch category was really started to come about in the early 1990s. And its original intention was just like what we're doing. We're taking the best of the best and varying floors of the Rick House to get different flavor characteristics and you blend it together to make a small batch. Well, there's no parameters around what makes a small batch whiskey. You can make it from 200 barrels or you can make it from 2 barrels. It really doesn't matter. And so again, the original intention was small batch, big flavor. Once you start getting up into those 200 plus barrel ranges, I mean, that's just normal whiskey to me. That doesn't represent what a small batch really should be. So We're excited to get back to the original intention of it. These barrels are coming from varying parts of the Rick House, usually between the second and fifth floor. And man, like I said, the flavor is phenomenal. The mouthfeel's phenomenal. And each batch has its own little varying, you know, nuances between it. Some are a little bit more on that citrus heavy side. Some are a little bit more on that vanilla custard side. You know, it all depends. But look out for that at retailers around the nation.
Very cool. We're going to have to look for that for
Absolutely.
Sure. I saw if you can get whiskey delivered to you on Chicken Cock Whiskey's website, you can order the Kisner Double Oak limited edition one, as long with all your products. Lots of cool stuff over there. We'll tag the socials as well. So if any listeners aren't sure what the socials are and they don't want to type in Chicken Cock, we'll have it there so you can find the right one. This is great. The bourbon, the rye, and this double oak was
phenomenal.
It is very, very good.
Thank you.
I have a very high-end taste. I mean, you can tell that you guys are doing it right and not just pushing it out. And I love that, especially with just sipping whiskey. I mean, you want that high-quality taste for sure.
I have definitely over the last couple of years, for sure, I like my whiskey neat now, and I like to taste all of the flavors. We like old fashions.
Yeah.
It's our podcast name, but I love my whiskey neat. So this is all three of these. I would definitely drink neat.
Yeah, for sure.
Love it. Love to hear it.
Anything else you'd like to add before we get you out of here?
No, just like you said, you know, follow along with us on social media, Chicken Cock Whiskey, whether that be Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn or anything like that. And sign up for our email list to look out for great new announcements on new products or what we have going on. Please follow me on Instagram at MashBillWill. That is my Chicken Cock Whiskey Instagram handle there. I'm traveling all over the nation constantly promoting this product, telling people about its history and long legacy and sharing our great whiskey with everybody. So thank you so much, guys, for having me on. This was a blast, and I hope to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, if you're traveling through Iowa promoting Chicken Cock, let us know.
I will be. Hopefully not in the winter, but I will be.
Yes, hopefully not.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much. And you're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, you got it, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much to Will from Grain and Barrel Spirits. We're talking about Chicken Cock Whiskey. That was a lot of fun. Really interesting stuff there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love the history and how they were able to resurrect the brand. Mm-hmm. The name is, I mean, you almost snicker. Anyways, with somebody with a mind like mine of a 12-year-old boy, I almost snicker, but it's something that stands with you, though.
Oh, like, it does. And to think all of that, like from just seeing a bottle in a museum, and I can believe it, but I think it's so cool that they have some of those older bottles whiskey left in that bottle.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And then I love that they're getting back to an actual small batch. They're bringing that back to the industry, because that's something that I've read a lot about, like these small batches at some of the bigger places. And I'm not trying to put any distillery down, but they are 200, 300 barrels.
And that might be a small batch to them.
But that's not small batch.
It's not small batch.
Yeah, exactly. So I love that they're getting back to that. Make sure you give them a follow. We're going to have all the socials posted on our link, on our post for this and everything. Make sure you give them a follow. Check out what they have coming up, because they got some stuff they're releasing soon here this year. And yeah, thanks again to Will. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Miranda, you have anything else you'd like to add?
I just want to remind everybody about our giveaway, our draft giveaway this month. We have so many, we have a lot of cool memorabilia, autographed everything.
Yeah, you can see that Frank Gore jersey behind us that Nick and Rod are going to fight over. They both want that one. And I'm sure there's more than just those two Niners fans out there. Maybe. But yeah, make sure you get signed up for that. All you got to do is be subscribed to our YouTube, which if you're watching us, you're probably subscribed. If not, just hit that little subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up for us while you're at it. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFF contest. And yeah, then you just provide your contact information and a little screenshot showing you're subscribed. And yeah, I don't know if we'll have another show before the draft, but I'll for sure be here on the draft night, breaking down every pick after pick one. I will be on the main show for pick one. So as soon as that's over, I will be hopping on, going live, and kind of talking through the picks, the fantasy football implications, plus drinking some whiskey, because why not? We'll talk about some whiskey then too.
Yes.
You will not be here.
I won't.
You will be traveling, but that's okay. You're going to be having fun as well. And then we'll be back the next week after that to talk about these rookies, where they landed. I mean, because that's when you're really going to know, like, oh, now we can kind of start to see what kind of impact they're going to make, because we know what team they're on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fun. We're excited. And just subscribe in case we do put out another random show. We might between now and the draft. We'll see. We'll see.
Teasing people.
That's right.
We'll get you.
50-50. Miranda, you got anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I'd go pick up a bottle of chicken cock whiskey, bourbon. Yes. The rye. I'm not, all of them were great, but I am not going to lie to you people. My favorite's the rye.
Yeah, the rye was very good.
Oh my goodness. I'm still thinking about, well, all of it, even the, if you can get your hands on a bottle of the Kevin Kisner, I highly recommend that. Very unique tasting.
Yeah.
Like I said, sitting around like a,
yeah, the fire pit. It was weird how, like, it wasn't warming, like a burn,
but like heat,
but it was like this warm dessert that I just ate or
but
something.
But not super sweet at the same time.
Yeah, true.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was interesting. Both the bourbon and the rye are great, neat. We know the bourbon holds up in a cocktail. I'm sure that rye does as well. But that rye is, I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah, it was very good. Mm-hmm. So you can go to their website and order that whiskey, as long as whiskey can be shipped to your state, and the Double Oak, that is, but or all of their whiskeys. They have a neat little pack where you can get three different ones. Yeah, go check that out. Make sure you check that out. Miranda, my whiskey is gone. How about yours?
It's gone.
Going once, going twice.
Sold.